You're listening to another ambitious EntrepreneurNetwork.com podcast, the voice for entrepreneurs and small business. Now, onto the show.
Welcome to the Christian Entrepreneurs Podcast, daily conversations with Christian entrepreneurs to inspire and empower Christian business owners to walk strongly in their faith, while build a thriving business that honors Him in every way. Now, over to your host, Anne Marie Cross.
So, welcome to another Christian Entrepreneurs Podcast. This is episode 49, and I'm your host, Anne Marie Cross, the podcasting queen. You'll notice in the Facebook Live that we're doing things a little bit differently. Well, one of the things I say is we record everything, bloopers and all, and we had a bit of a technology difficulty. Usually I'm on Matt's computer, but I'm now on my laptop. And it's one of those things, the show must go on because today's guest is one that I really want to feature on today's show. So joining me on today's show is Tom Schwab. And he says, what is ordinary to you is amazing to other people. Tom knows how to build an online presence. Marketing at its heart is starting a conversation with someone who could be an ideal customer. Now, Tom helps authors, speakers, coaches, consultants, and brands get featured on leading podcasts. And their prospects are listening to these podcasts. So if you're not already a guest on various podcasts, it really is something that you want to start to be doing with more intention this year. Then what Tom does is he shows them how to turn those listeners into customers. Now, Tom, he is the author of Podcast Guest Profits, Grow Your Business with a Targeted Interview Strategy. And he's the founder of Interview Valet, the concierge level podcast interviewing marketing agency. Now, specifically on today's show, Tom is going to talk about there are a lot of problems in the world today, I'm sure you'd agree, but there is no better time to be alive. From spreading the gospel, raising a family, or growing a business, now is the best time in history. I have to agree with that, Tom. He also says, what is ordinary to you is amazing to other people, and it's never been easier to share what you have learned on podcasts and other great tools that we have now through technology at our fingertips. He's also going to be talking about today, most people can choose their ideal customers. You have a product or a service that could help them if only they knew you existed. Today, it's easier than ever. So welcome to the show, Tom.
Anne-Marie, I am thrilled to be here.
This is the second time that we've interviewed. The first time, of course, was only audio, but now, of course, we have the opportunity to be able to view each other when we are recording. It really is a blessing. I know last time you were on the show, I learned a lot, and it was great to be able to share your wisdom and expertise with our audience. Tell us a little bit of a background, if you will, how you came up with the idea of your business, the Interview Valet.
Well, to me, there's nothing new under the sun, right? It's really a progression, taking things together. And really, it came from my experience with inbound marketing. So inbound marketing is how do you use content to attract, engage, and delight customers. And you know, that used to mean blogs. And one of the things that we saw about 6 years ago was that blogs weren't working nearly as well. You know, they were getting saturated, but podcasts were really taking off. And so we hypothesized, could you use podcast interviews the same way that you could use guest blogs? You know, getting out there in front of your ideal audience, letting them know, you know, who you are, what your heart is, how you help people, and really getting them to know you. And so we began to test it, and it worked wonderfully, so much so that originally I thought, no, this is too good to be true, because we were seeing conversion rates that were like 25 to 50 times better than blogs. Yeah. So with that, we kept testing it, refining it, and realized that it really was a system. And I always say that the more I learn about it, it's like, I think my grandfather could have figured this out. You know, he would have said, of course, you know, he wouldn't have understood the internet. But he would have understood that if you want to grow your business, you need to talk to your ideal customers.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think with podcasting, the opportunity to really spend time with someone, the fact that so many podcasts are between 20, 30, even longer minutes, to be able to capture the attention, the full attention of your dream customer, compared to a lot of other technologies like video, where we're told you really need to keep it short and sweet, no longer than 2 minutes. There's not much you can do in 2 minutes. And I think being a guest on a podcast and also having your own podcast is certainly a fantastic way to be able to engage, connect, and then nurture a prospect into a paying customer. Let's dive in. Let's talk about, there are a lot of problems today. We only need to switch on a lot of the other traditional media, paper, newspaper, radio to hear about the doom and gloom. But you say there's no better time to be alive from spreading the gospel, raising a family, or growing a business. Now is the best time in history. Speak some insights into this.
Well, I think if we just go back to the beginning of this, what was our big problem today? One of the computers didn't work, so we had to go back to another one. We're talking on a platform here that is relatively, you know, free. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the most richest person in the world couldn't have used it 30 years ago because it didn't exist. I always try to put things in perspective. You know, when I have a bad day, it's usually because the internet goes down. Yeah. You know, when my grandfather had a bad day, he was burying a child. And I think to me, that puts it in perspective that we are so blessed here and, you know, we're blessed to be a blessing. So how are we using this technology? How are we sharing it to spread God's kingdom, to spread light in the world, whatever it is? You know, you can turn on the media and in my mind, they're spreading darkness, right? Yeah. They'll tell you all the dark things that happened in the world. But here we are, half a world away, a day apart from each other, and we're able to talk live. And, you know, I really believe today, if you're isolated or ignorant, it's by choice, right? As long as you've got access to an internet signal, you can learn and you can connect with people. And, you know, early on in the Bible, it says, it's not good for man to be alone. And I know that talks about different things there, but I think it applies to other things too. Most countries, it's cruel and unusual punishment to put somebody in solitary confinement. You know, if you wanted to do the unspeakable to somebody, lock them up by themselves. But yet, too often we do that, you know, especially working remotely. It's real easy to just lock yourself in, work right there, and it makes the world a smaller place. We can use these tools to connect with people, get different ideas, different inspirations, and it's not good for man to be alone. And even when you're in Kalamazoo, Michigan, as long as you have an internet connection, you can have friends a half a world away.
Oh, absolutely. And I think there's a couple of fantastic points that I want to dive into. Number one, with these technologies and with things in business, there are two ways that you can look at a challenge. You can either really let it beat you up and just carry on about it. I mean, today I mentioned before we even had press record and share this face on Facebook Live, the previous guest had technical problems. She didn't know how to get her system working. So there was a trial and error there. It's just, how do you approach? Well, it's an issue. Let's just look. Can we go sideways? Can we go under? Do we need to shift? That's one of the ways I think in the approach, the attitude that we need to have in business. And so I'm sharing that because a lot of people are not sharing their message and not leveraging the tools that we have available to us. Who knew, as you said, 10, 20, 30 years ago, that you and I could be sitting, having a conversation, as you said, from opposite ends of the world, different time zones, so I'm ringing in from your future, talking about a topic that we're passionate about that we can then share to people all over the globe. I mean, now this technology is available. Who knows what we're going to be able to do in 10 years' time? Speak a little bit about, you know, sharing a message, because something else that I hear a lot of people saying, you can speak into this, when we're thinking about our skills, our strengths, and our information, we can often take for granted that it is valuable to someone else, that someone else is struggling with that. So by not sharing our message, we inadvertently are stopping people from getting out of stuckness and having hope and inspiration or whatever our area of expertise is. Share a little bit more about that.
Yeah. And really it's, there's always something that every person knows that could help someone else. Now, it may not help the world. It may not help 100 people, but or a million people, but it could help 100 people, 1,000 people. What you know right now, you don't have to perfect it more. You just need to help people with that. And in the past, it was always, well, how do I find those people? And now, you know, it's how do they find you is really the question. Mm-hmm. And that was really the whole idea of inbound marketing is the people use internet to find answers, right? So every time you go into Google and put a search in there, you've got a question. Mm-hmm. And so the thing is how can you provide those answers? Now, we all can't provide all of the answers, right? But we all have this little thing that we know. And it's so easy to share that now. And really, you can share it in whatever way is most comfortable for you. I'm an engineer by degree. I joke that English is my second language. I'm not sure what my first one is, but for me to write a blog, it's like a homework assignment. Mm. I can do it, but I'll find a lot of things to do before that. I love talking. Yeah. I'll answer questions. Now, other people are different, so they could write a blog and, you know, then read it into a podcast. For me, I could do a podcast interview, and then transcribe it. And transcribe it into a blog so that other people could use it. Mm. You could use, like we are right now, there'll be some people that are listening to this because they like audio, and they're probably, you know, maybe even listening to it at 1.5 times speed. Yeah. Other people like the video, so they'll do that. And the funny part was you were saying in 10 years, there's probably somebody right now in, 2028? That's listening to this podcast going, this is funny. Look at what they were talking about 10 years ago, what they thought was cutting edge. Yeah. So it's really amazing from that. Mm-hmm. So that you can take what you know, you can produce it in any form that is easiest to you, and then use technology to reproduce that into forms that other people can use.
Yeah, absolutely. Something else that I want to speak into, because this is really stopping people from getting out there and sharing their message, is often we'll say, all right, well, I know this particular amount of information about my topic, but I don't know everything. How often that stops us? For instance, this is the Christian Entrepreneurs Podcast. Now, there will often be verses in the Bible, and because there's so much going on and there's buttons that I need to be looking for, there is no way that I can remember verses. Now, did I let that stop me from producing this? I just say to people, it's in the Bible there somewhere, Google it or something, it will come up, you know, the phrases. So a bit of humor there, but I think it goes to show that often we stop ourselves because of the fact that we are comparing ourselves to other people or putting our skills down. And speak a bit more about that, because, you know, you said so already, there's things that we know, and we're not saying that we know everything. There could be an opportunity for a bit of discussions and brainstorming. But I think sometimes that vulnerability, and that's an interesting question. I'd have to look further into that and come back to it. There's so many different ways that we can approach that, isn't it? When we find ourselves on an interview, that maybe there's something that we just don't have the experience in. What are your thoughts on that?
And a lot of people struggle with that, Anne-Marie. They'll say, well, I'm not the expert. Mm. Well, I didn't say you were the expert. The only thing that you are the expert in is your opinion. Yeah. You're the undisputed expert in your opinion and your life story, right? Mm-hmm. But if you look at what the legal definition of an expert is, the legal definition to at least in the U.S., to get up and speak as an expert witness is someone who, by their training, degrees, skills, life experience, has more expertise than the average person.
Yeah.
So if you've raised kids compared to somebody that hasn't raised kids, you're an expert. Mm-hmm. Right? In my case, I made a lot of mistakes. I can be the expert in what mistakes not to make. Mm. If you're working in an industry, you're focused in that. You've got expertise in there. If you've gone through different challenges, you have expertise in there. And no one ever says you're the one undisputed expert because that person doesn't exist, but you have expertise on there. Yeah. And, you know, a lot of people will say, well, what new do I have to say about this? It's already been said. And I remind them that Christianity is repurposed content, right? All of the original content happened 2,000 years ago. And for the last 2,000 years, we've been talking about it, interpreting it, saying how to apply that. And everybody's take on that brings something new to the game. So to say, it's all been said. No, if you haven't shared your part hasn't been said. And while it may not apply to everyone, there's going to be some people that have never heard it that way that you will resonate with them. And you know, one of the questions or the fears that I would have is that 100, 200 years ago, you know, I could see how you could not spread the good news, right? You were in a small area there. What impact could you make on the kingdom? Today, we're given all of these tools. How much easier is it? You know, it's free, all the rest of that. And at the final judgment, when you say, I gave you all of these things, and you didn't, you know, you used it to watch cat videos and to head instead of helping somebody. I don't want to have to answer that one.
No, exactly right. And something I think that you said is just so important is that when we are talking about a specific topic, similar to where we might be negating what we've learned through our studies, through experiences, life's journey, we also bring our own characteristics, our own personality, the gifts and talents that God has blessed us with. So whilst you may be speaking about a similar topic that someone else has, the whole experience is different. I mean, you are now show, let me see if I can remember, 49, I think. So we've had 49 guests, all Christians, all who love Jesus and want to share, you know, how they're incorporating the word into their work and with integrity and excellence and everything, all bring different stories to the table, all bring different insights, different learnings. And as you say, someone somewhere may need to hear something, but because the way that person shared that story or had that personal journey, it rings true for them because it's like, I'm going through that as well. So I think to negate that, through comparison, through, you know, lack of self-belief and or self-worth in our experiences, I think minimizes, you know, the impact that we really could share. And that beautifully segues into the next piece that you wanted to talk about, Tom, was that today most people can choose their ideal client. We've got a product or we've got a service that could help them if they only knew we existed. And today, again, we've shared how easy that is. Speak a little bit more about that, because this is what a lot of people tend to struggle with as well, is really understanding the exciting opportunities that are out there for their ideal clients to get to know, hear, and see them.
The world has changed so drastically. And I remember the worst business advice I ever got came from my grandfather. I mean, it wasn't just bad advice. Mm-hmm. If I would have taken it, it would have radically altered my life for the negative. And it was the only thing that old Irishman ever told me that was wrong. I remember I was 17 years old, getting ready to go into the Navy, and I was having a beer with him. He thought it was my first beer I'd ever had, and he told me, choose carefully who you drink with because you can't choose who you work with. And for him, it was true. He was a mechanic in a small town. If you, you know, had a car in that town, you were his customer. Mm-hmm. For us, it's so much different, right? We've got so many customers that we get to choose who we work with. Mm-hmm. No other generation, I think, in human history can claim that we have access to so many customers. So it's very important, I feel, that you need to choose your customers. And there's a lot of things that say, well, for profitability, that's better. Mm-hmm. Well, I think it goes beyond there. It's like, that way they're a blessing to you. You're a blessing to them. You do your best work. And now I just look at it and say, you know, if I wouldn't want you around my family, I don't want you around my business. And there's a lot of people that I talk with, and I will just say that I'm not saying that you're a bad person, but I don't think you're a bad fit for me. Let me introduce you to somebody else that I think could serve you better. Because, you know, we all have certain talents, and we need to find those people that we can work best with those talents. Somebody pointed out to me years ago, he said, in the Bible, it says you can do all things through Christ. It never says you can do everything through Christ. So I think now more than ever, there's so many things we can do. We have to be very specific of who am I going to work with? Who's going to bless me? Who am I going to bless? Because we don't need to, you know, work with all 3 billion people. Jesus focused on 12. Most of us, you know, we only need, there's a famous article out there, 1,000 true fans. And that's really what any company needs.
Yeah, fantastic. Let's speak a little bit more about that, about our ideal clients, because I think, you know, sometimes as business owners, particularly Christian business owners, who, and we're told to love everyone, even our enemies, and to pray for them. But I think what you're saying is absolutely true. When we're really clear on our core values, and for many of us in Christian business, one of our core values is integrity, honesty, excellence, all those things that Jesus commanded us that we should be out there in the world. So it having the conversation, I think, if someone does come to want to work with you, and if it's more the one-on-one, particularly for service-based businesses, if there is a misalignment in values, how you approach that, you don't need to be rude or anything like that. But I think having that conversation and saying to someone, I don't think that I'm the best person for you, is really doing both of you, yourself and them, a favor, justice, because then they can go out and find someone else. Speak a bit more about that, because I think it's Christian business owners, that can be really hard.
Well, and especially today, you know, people always say, well, you shouldn't discriminate. Well, I'm not going to discriminate on somebody, you know, based on their race, their creed, their culture, all the rest of that. Not illegal discrimination, but we all discriminate. I was very discriminating when I picked a bride. You know, I was very discriminating when I picked an industry to work with, because that's where it was best. So I think a lot of that, you have to say, you know, does this use my best talents? Do I work well with them? And, you know, I don't want somebody that I agree with 100%. Heck, I don't agree with myself 100%. But do they bring out the best in me? And I had a client once that at the end of the conversation, they gave me the best compliment that I have ever had. And it's always stuck with me. They said, this conversation fed my soul. And at the end of that, I'm like, wow, I want to be able to say that on more conversations. So from that standpoint, we're not only doing business here, but we're feeding each other's soul too. We should challenge each other. We want to do better, things like that. But that we're working together on this. And very early on, if I don't get a good feel from either a client that I can serve them or that they'll be a good fit for me or my team, you know, we've got a team of 14 here in the U.S. It's like, you know, I was in the Navy and there was a chief that once told me, you know, if his mother couldn't change him in the first 18 years of his life, you're not going to change him now. No. So I look at that too. You know, if a client isn't a good fit on the sales calls, working with them for years is not going to change that. And, you know, there is somebody out there that could be a great fit for them. I make no judgments on it. I'm just like, no, that's, I don't think we would be a good fit.
Yeah. One of the examples that I often will give, these are real examples. One happened from a workshop that I was delivering around brand and corporate values, how important they are. And another was from a colleague of mine who in her business has the value of integrity of animals. And she will not work with businesses who do testing on animals. And she'll say to them, this is such a core value to even consider. It would just not be a very good fit. And then similarly with someone who was in an audience, even if the makeup or products were the best for her skin, if she knew that they tested on animals, she said, I just couldn't because it's so against my values. And there's not saying anything right or wrong with that product or service. It's just saying it's so against my core values and what our company stands for. We would not be able to give you the 110% that we would want to, the commitment to really support your business. And I think it's such a great reminder that it's how we communicate, it's how we frame, that it's not done in a judging way at all. Everyone makes their own decisions on their values, their beliefs and so forth. And I think when we have that respect, as you said, then there's a mutual agreement to part ways and everybody then is happy. I think that that's a great way approach, yes?
And even with current customers, a lot of times when you work with a customer and you've got a great relationship with you and they come to you and say, Anne-Marie, could you do this for us? You know, we'll have customers that come to us and say, it's been so great working with you, getting us on podcasts. Could you help us start our own podcast? Yeah. And we really want you to do that for us. And I've got to be honest with them. And, you know, they'll say, how much will it cost? I'm like, that's not our zone of genius. That's, you know, is it our zone of competency? Could we do it? Probably. But that's not what we've been blessed to do. Let me introduce you to somebody who that is their zone of genius. Yeah. So with that, sometimes it's hard to say no to people that are friends that want to work with you in an area that you're not gifted in. Mm-hmm. And so from that standpoint, people have said they've gained more respect from the no's you say than the yeses.
Yeah, so, so true. And that's an opportunity for us as business owners to align ourselves with other organizations and businesses who do specialize too, because then you can really set up an alliance partner. And that's all, again, determined and built on similar core values. And I think that's really important to consider. So, Tom, share a little bit more about the services that you offer. And I know that we've been in communication with a number of your team members who are always providing us with incredible guests. But share a little bit more about the services that you offer and how people can get in contact with you.
Sure. Thanks, Anne-Marie. And so really you've got something great to share with the world, you know, a product or a service. Your biggest problem is your ideal customers don't know you exist. Mm-hmm. So we help personally introduce inspiring thought leaders to millions of people for the benefit of all through podcast interviews. So our best clients are the ones that say, you know, I want to be the talent. You know, I want to be the Sinatra. I want to show up and perform. You take care of all the other things. So I always say the best copy is written by clients. And we had a client says, I love working with you guys. I'm the guest. You take care of the rest. And I'm like, that's good. And so that's what we really focus on. We're US based. Someday we'll move to a different time zone down there, but we've got 14 team members here, all US based. We work to find the ideal podcast, to pitch the host, to get them to say yes, to prepare both the host and the guest for a great interview. The performance is the only thing you can't outsource, but we train our clients on the best practices. And then we really work on the process of moving them from being passive listeners to active visitors to the site and ultimately engaged leads. So I always say what we do is not magic. It's a system. It's reproducible. I wrote that book, Podcast Guest Profits. It's like the recipe book. And a lot of people take that book and make it themselves. That's fine. I think podcast interview marketing in 5 years is going to be just as big as email marketing or Facebook marketing. And I really just want people to learn that. If you can go to Google and buy or Amazon and buy the book, I give away more of them. And if you go to interviewvalet.com and just go to /TCEP, you can find a copy of the book right there that you can download. And I'll put a checklist of the same checklist that we use for all of our clients to prepare for an interview. And there's even an infographic there that shows you the secrets of getting on your first podcast interview. And I'll tell you what, they're not secrets. They're common sense things. And after you see them, you'll say, well, you know, what's ordinary to you is amazing to other people. And once you see how the magic trick is done, you'll say, oh yes, I can do this. So you've got something that could help the world. And if we can help you get that out there, please feel free to connect with us just at interviewvalet.com/TCEP. I'll put all my social media there and my email. And if there's any way I can be of service to you, just please reach out.
Fantastic. And of course, Tom will put all of those details on our show notes. And for people who are listening to the audio version, come across to this link, because we also recorded this via video. We're doing video and streaming live onto Facebook, and that's ambitiousentrepreneurnetwork.com/TCE 49. And I think, you know, Tom, as you said, I mean, today when we're looking at really cutting through a lot of the online noise, when you look at the audiences that the podcast hosts are developing, I mean, their audience continues to come back to listen to the various shows because they know, like, and trust the host. And studies have shown, and I'm sure you know this, that when a host brings on an expert or someone as a guest, immediately some of that trust is then imparted onto that guest because of the fact that they're on the platform. Now, that relationship there, I mean, no amount of advertising, no amount of blog posts can garner that kind of response. And I know a lot of advertising, you know, the traditional advertising agency are struggling to try and capture, aren't they, the power of what they're seeing in relationship building, know, like, and trust, and all of that. So if podcasts, guests, or being a guest on a podcast is something that you have not yet dabbled into, I really do recommend. And you've got some really great shows out there and also some hosts who really make the whole experience. That's what we do anyway. We try and make the experience so much fun that at the end of an interview, people go, really? Is it finished? Oh, fantastic. We just like having a conversation. And that's really what it is all about, just having a conversation, sharing information, insights that's going to empower people. And that's really where our motto comes in. It's changing the world one message at a time. So thank you once again for coming on the show.
Thank you, Anne-Marie.
You've been listening to the Christian Entrepreneurs Podcast, brought to you by BeTheDifferenceMovement.com. Changing the world one message at a time. Do you feel called to influence real change with your message? Join our supportive community of like-minded influencers, thought leaders, and disruptors at www.BeTheDifferenceMovement.com. That's BeTheDifferenceMovement.com.